Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for we learn of you. We thank you, Father, for we become more and more like your Son, even as we feed of your word today. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes, you're welcome to the Bible study today. We are continuing the study that we began last week. And this study, in case I didn't mention last week, but it is entitled Lessons from with Jonah's book, the final verse. Amen? Lessons from with Jonah's book, the final verse. Glory be to God. Last Wednesday, we did the introduction. The introduction of the book. Alright? And mostly we studied how we join as God's the visions and the dreams. Anyway, how we got the message that is in the book. And he got them through what he called the prophetic experiences, which includes dreams and visions and other things. Glory be to God. And we went through what visions are, the different kinds of visions, and then we also studied, we reminded ourselves basically what prophetic experiences are for. They are not to establish doctrine, rather they are to direct us, to give the strategic will of God in different situations, not only as a church, but also for individuals. And then we also saw that prophetic experiences, another reason for them was what? For what? Yes, illumination. You know? What we receive in prophetic experiences, you know, gives more light to what is already written in the scriptures. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, today, we are going to start part one of the book, which Rick Joyner entitles The Hordes of Hell Are Marching. Alright? Yeah, now for us, because we are studying the book, we don't have to give our studies the same titles as like they are in the book. Okay? Alright? We shall continually give call the lessons that we get from the book. We shall call them what we want, what we feel is relevant, okay, for that day. Hallelujah. Now, today the study will be entitled Church Civil War. Alright? Church what?
Civil War.
Civil War. Amen? And we shall draw many lessons from it. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you have the book printed out? You do it? Yeah, it will benefit you to print it out. if you come, all right, using the copy Rachel sent. Amen? And please, when you do that, entitle this copyright page, entitle it, rather, call it page one. All right? And then you go like that, you know. Hallelujah. So, now, I'm going to go through this book today up to page, around up to page 8. Amen? Up to page 8. The things I'm going to say from the book, if you want me to tell you where they are, just raise your hand and I'll tell you. Because from my teaching outline, I've also recorded the page and the paragraph that I picked everything that I'm going to say. You understand? So if you have the book, okay, and you want to know where I'm getting what I'm saying, just raise your hand, okay? Feel free to do what? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. All right? We're on the same page?
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for coming. Yeah? Okay? Thank you, neighbor, on my behalf, for coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. It is important, this book, The Final Question, I'm telling you, you guys, if someone can just master this book, I even wonder if you can master it, because every time I read it, I see things which like, I've never seen. Glory be to God. But the things that you pick from that book are so essential. Glory be to God. Amen. Anyone who takes this book, The Final Question, seriously, I'm telling you, you'll become a general in the kingdom of God. I have not said that you become a great preacher. I have said you become a general in the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God, it is not only preachers who turn out or who are considered as generals. Alright? Actually, a good number of preachers are not even generals. You know that? A good number of preachers are not what? They are not. Heaven, again, when you read this book, you will learn, like we already know, that heaven has a different perspective to things, man. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Heaven has a whole, sees, runs things differently from the way humans do. Hallelujah. Amen. We might be here when Carol man, when Carol is a genuine kingdom. Glory be to God. And some preacher in the country, in Uganda or in the US, who you think is a general, when God is like, no, 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 no. They're just doing their own things. Hallelujah. And because they have a big crowd, so that means they have the money. So since they have the money, so they can buy this car, they can buy that house, they can wear expensive. So now for us, we use the car, we use the money, we use the house, we use the suits to rank who is a general and who is not. Amen? So don't go, by those things. Whatever God has called you to do, if you do it well, amen, according to some of the guidelines, okay, some of the teachings in this book, The Final Question, you will be a gentleman. Hallelujah. Amen? That's why I really wanted us to study this book, and we are going to study it. Hallelujah. So that's why I thank you for coming, and I believe it will bless you. Amen. Yeah. Now, so the title for for today's study is Church Civil War. Amen. We're going to do part one of that, and then next week we shall do part two. Part two of Church Civil War. Amen. Now, in that book, the final question, God has a mission. All right? This mission, again, if you want to know where I'm getting this from, you raise your hand. Okay? The mission is to sweep great numbers of people into the church. All right? That is the what? The mission. All right? It is on page 6, paragraph 5. All right? So, that means, basically, bringing souls into the kingdom. All right? Bringing souls like a great harvest, as we see in Mark. In Mark chapter 16. Now, the thing about the final quest, he doesn't like say this book, chapter this, and verse. Okay? But however, if you know the Bible, you can know it, you can tell it, you can understand where he's getting the thing. So that's why we're going to study the book, all right, using the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. So Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. This is before Jesus left the earth after his resurrection. Mark 16, verse 15 to 16. It says that, and he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Alright? Now, God's mission in this part, the section of the final quest that we are reading today, is to basically make sure that so many, like there's a great numbers of unbelievers, you know, I hoped to accept the good news of salvation so that they can be saved. Do you understand? You know this thing, yeah? Hallelujah. Now, Satan also has a mission. Okay? God's mission is to get multitudes into the kingdom. Now, Satan's mission is basically to preempt what God is planning to do. Do you understand? Again, according to the final question, okay? It is to preempt God's mission. So the devil knows that there is God is planning to bring many souls into the kingdom of heaven. All right? So the enemy, like you would expect, or like you know, doesn't want that. So he preempts it. You know, basically, to preempt means to do something to prevent something else from happening. Glory be to God. So, and now that's where the war basically is. You know, God wants to do something to God, to bring in many souls into the kingdom. The devil doesn't want that to happen. And now, there starts the battle, the war. Glory be to God. It is essentially that. Hallelujah. Now, today, we are going to talk about the enemy, you know, his army, and all that he's doing, all that Regina saw him do, you know, that is written in the book. You understand? Okay? So, the enemy, we're going to see, interestingly, I'm finishing today. If I wanted to I'll finish Museveni's book, Sowing the Mustard Seed. And in the book, of course, he gives an account of how the war, how they managed to fight. Okay, and most of us, of course, know that the war was from 81 to 86. But apparently, Museveni has been fighting since what? Yes, the 70s. You know, and in that book he writes a few things, how they did the training, the strategies which they used. Okay? So today, when I was studying this section of the final quest, I could, I was like, okay, of course, these things are easy to understand. But they made more sense to me just because I'd finished to read that section in a Museveni's book about the war and that stuff. So every enemy has a commander. Every army has a commander. But of course, every army, there is a reason. And we have seen the reason. The enemy's reason to fight is to preempt the great harvest, of souls that God plans to bring into the kingdom. So Satan's army has a commander, all right? And obviously, since it is an army, it has soldiers. Do you understand? Now, soldiers, an army is always divided into divisions, which in Museveni's book, they are called battalions. Glory be to God. You think they're interesting? Amen? Now, soldiers need to move. So basically what you call transport, vehicles, to move them from one place to the other. Most of the time in the bush of Museveni and group, they used to walk. And they say that it was better to walk because, man, if you're in a vehicle and the enemy gets you, you see, glory be to God. But in the final quest, the enemy, the devil, had the way of moving his troops. Glory be to God. Then every army has weapons to fight the war. And the devil also had weapons. Glory be to God. Now, the weapons, as you can really see, I really studied this book. The weapons are for on land, but also aerial, from the air. Okay? Now, the army has to eat. You understand? And in the final quest, the devil's army also had what? Yeah, food, nourishment. And we're going to see all those things. And finally, a strategy. You don't just fight without a strategy. Glory be to God. So those are 8 points. Hallelujah. And then we shall see how that applies to our life. Glory be to God. All right? So, the enemy's army has a commander. Okay? And that commander is called the accuser or the brethren. The accuser of the what? The brethren. Basically, the devil. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, John says, "And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Glory be to God. Now, this accuser called the brethren in Revelations 12:10 is the commander, you know, of the army that is preempting the great harvest of souls God is planning to bring into the kingdom. Are you with me? Now, the commander, like we said, has soldiers. Okay? Okay? This commander, the accuser of the brethren, the devil, has soldiers. And guess who the soldiers are? Carol. Carol. Joseph. No man. Yeah, now, the soldiers are demons. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Then, the soldiers, like we say, are divided into divisions. Amen? Amen? Now, these divisions, Regina said that there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six major ones. Alright? The first one was pride. Pride. The second, self-righteousness. The third, respectability. Respectability. What is respectability, Joseph? Yes, you want to be respected. You want to appear like you deserve respect. You know, okay? Respectability. The third or the fourth, selfish ambition. Selfish what? Ambition. The fifth, unrighteous judgment. All right? Unrighteous judgment. Unrighteous judgment. Jesus talk to the Pharisees and the priests that they judge things unrighteously. Basically, they don't judge things, you know, like how God would have judged them. They just look at, you know, exteriors. Alright? So, they judge them according to what they think things should be. Not what God says they should be. Alright? And then the sixth is jealousy. Alright? These are the army divisions. Battalions. Or the enemies, what? And alright? Now, when you look at all these, we say there are many six. When you look at all of them, pride, self-righteousness, respectability, selfish ambition, unrighteous judgment, judges things from your perspective, you know, not from God's word. Then jealousy. That when I looked at them, you could see that all these things are about self. You understand? They are basically self, or what you would call self-centeredness. You know it. So the army, the devil's army, you see it, it's like all the people who are recruited into it, basically the whole thing is what? Self-centeredness. Glory be to God. Okay? But I'm going to come back there shortly. Now, number four, we say the enemies, the devil's troops have to move from one place to the other as they attack God's camp. Alright? Okay? So, which vehicles does the enemy use to move from one place to the other? We say that the soldiers are demons. Alright? So, what are the vehicles, the cars, the what do they call those army cars? Okay? The army cars are what?
Army cars for humans and mammals. Army cars
humans. Glory be to God. Humans, according to the book. You see, in the book, the final question, humans were the ones now transporting. Now, interestingly, it was more than humans. You see, he saw that they were primarily Christians. Now, in my notes, I didn't put an exclamation mark. Primarily Christians. So the devil is a commander. You know, he has soldiers with demons. He needs to transport them from one place to the other to attack, you know, God's camp. And to do that, to move from point A to point B, he was using primarily Christians. Now, this is very sad. Glory be to God. Now, this is where now you had better find out whether you're not one of the enemy's vehicles. You see, now this thing, man, gets what? Scary. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, so we go back to the army divisions of pride, self-righteousness, respectability, selfish ambition, unwise judgment, jealousy. Which we said, when you look at them, they are basically self-centeredness. Glory be to God. So that means these Christians, okay, that the gods that were recruited into the army, it means what qualified them to be recruited into the enemy's army is he got people who are being bewitched, if I should say, by self-centeredness. Glory be to God. Okay? Prideful people. Okay? People who are self-righteous. Okay? People, great and small, but who feel that they deserve respect, they are just there to make sure people respect them. Okay? Everything they do is just about that. Alright? Selfish ambition. Whatever they do has nothing to do with God. Do you understand? Has nothing to do with the welfare of others. Primarily, it is about self. Those things. Glory be to God. Jealousy. Okay? And what qualified them to man to be enlisted in the enemy's camp to act as vehicles on which the demons could ride. Self-centeredness. Hallelujah. Now, this makes sense because when you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, Genesis chapter 3, 1 to 7, this is the first time we see the devil, and he's coming to tempt humans who have never sinned, alright? And as we read 1 to 7, we see that all he got them to do was to become self-centered. Alright? To stop being God-conscious. Okay? And make them self-centered. Yeah? In a sense, he wanted them to be like, you can do without God. Yeah? You know it? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, it says that now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, this is the thing, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like who? Like God. So, if you're like God, then you don't need God. If you're like God, then what? You don't need God. So you will see the enemy's strategy for this first whatever of hitting man was to get God out of their lives. You see, okay? Which is basically now self becomes God. You become God. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, do you think his strategy or his tactics have changed since then? Okay? Because you see, that is even how he failed. You see, he wanted to be God. When you read the Bible, that's how the enemy failed. Lucifer, that's how he failed. Okay? He wanted to be God. You know, So now when it comes to humans, he uses the same thing. You can do without God. You can become your own God. Hallelujah. That is basically now you see selfish ambition, self-righteousness. You know, according to you, you're okay. God is not in the picture. There's no standard. Your standard, it is you who set the standards. Okay? Unrighteous judgment. You judge things not according to God's perspective, but according to your own things. Glory be to God. Amen? Jealousy, all those things. Glory be to God. So, verse 6 says, so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. Glory be to God. Previously, they were not self-conscious. You see, but now when they sin, their eyes are open, and now they become self-conscious, and they realize that they are what? Naked. Glory be to God. Amen? So we see, according to the final quest, that all these guys, Christians, who were recruited into the enemy's army, okay, it was all basically Christians who basically self-centeredness. Hallelujah. With self-centeredness manifesting as pride, that was division 1. Self-righteousness, division 2. Respectability, division 3. Or pattern 3. Selfish ambition, unrighteous judgment with jealousy. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? You see, Christians, you know, and if you're not in that army, amen, this should help you after today to make sure you don't get what? Recruited. Then you come to anything on Sunday, you come on Sunday to pray, but you're not sure you are a vehicle. You know, because the demons, the enemy soldiers were driving all Christians, primarily Christians. Glory be to God. So the enemy was using them, and he had the right to use them. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, interestingly, this coalition, you see, in the army also you need what? Alliance. You know, that's how Obote was overthrown. The Tanzanians and the Ghanaians, they came together. You know these things. Glory be to God. Amen. Museveni got help from Libyans and different people. Amen. Now, how did the enemy achieve this? To get Christians. Christians into his army, man. You see, according to the final quest, it was achieved by deception. First of all, they were prone because they are self-centered. Then, deception. Exactly what it did to Eve. Just deception. You see, deception, by the way, is not a natural thing. Deception is spiritual. This way, you can't say that you can never learn for deception. It is spiritual, man. Something can look so obvious, and you wonder why is someone into it. Man, deception is spiritual. Deception is not a simple thing. And anybody is prone. Glory be to God. Amen? So he used it for Eve and he's still using it now. Deception. Especially for those who are self-centered. Christians, you're born again, but you're self-centered. You're prideful. You're self-righteous. You think about your respect. Everything you do is to make sure that people see how great you are. You make people do things for you because they should do them for me because I am great. You understand? Hallelujah. Then, number five, weapons. Remember? Weapons. Weapons for land. To use on land. Alright? And in the book, there are three kinds of weapons for land. Swords, spears, and arrows. The swords, intimidation. Hallelujah. Intimidation. The spears, treachery, And the arrows, accusation, gossip, slander, fault finding. Amen? These ones are very common. Accusation, gossip, slander, fault finding. Then there are also weapons the enemy was using in the air. Hallelujah. Okay? The first one, vomit. They were vultures, which would vomit on people. And the vomit was condemnation. You see, the vomit of condemnation. That's why you need to know that scripture. But you all know it, because you're all grace people. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because it is a weapon of the enemy, man. Hallelujah. And then slime, urine, defecation, which was pride, that it was pride, self-righteousness, respectability, selfish ambition, unrighteous judgment, and jealousy. Basically like the divisions of the army. Amen? Then, number seven, nourishment. The army needs what? Nourishment. Now, this army, by now, it is comprised of demons and Christians. You understand? And Christians, the enemy's army. Alright? Okay? So these Christians were being fed food those days, so they can get energized to do the work of the enemy. Hallelujah. Okay? The nourishment, of course, nourishment, you need food and you need water. Isn't it? Okay? So the food was, again, the vomit of condemnation. And Christians in his camp would feed on that. Okay? The water was the water of bitterness. Hallelujah. Bitterness. Remember in Exodus, when the children of Israel got into the wilderness and they needed water, the first water they got to was bitter. I think that's why Mara came from, you know, bitter water. So now Christian bitterness. Bitter Christians. Bitter. Tell you what so and so did to them. Bitter. Can you imagine what that guy did to them? Can you imagine? You know those things, what that pastor did? Bitterness. And that was the word. Hallelujah. Then, this could be the most important thing. The strategy of the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, for those of you who came late, we are last week we did the introduction of the book. Okay? We studied especially how Rick Joyner received what he wrote in the book. Now, today we are starting the book, but it starts off with a war. Okay? Which, for the purposes of this lesson today, we are calling it Church Civil War. Okay? So the war arises because God has a mission of bringing souls, many souls, into his kingdom. Okay? And the enemy has to counteract that, basically to preempt it so that it doesn't happen. Of course, he wants people to go to hell. Alright? Alright? So, the enemy, to preempt that, so that people don't get saved, he creates an army. Alright? And in that army, he needs a commander, like any other army, and the devil is the commander. Alright? An army has to have soldiers. The demons are the soldiers. An army is divided into different divisions, okay? And the enemy does that. Okay? And these divisions, basically, the key thing about all of them is self-centeredness. Alright? The enemy needs to transport his troops. Alright? And the vehicles are primarily Christians. Hallelujah. Primarily, people like you. Not you, but people like you, as in Christians. You understand? Hallelujah. You're looking at me like I'm the son, like, you know, I'm joking. Glory be to God. Amen? Self-centeredness. And that is the thing he used on Eve. You know, God had to be like, you can be like God, therefore you don't need God. You see? And she ate and they realized that they were naked, meaning that they became self-conscious. No? Self-centered. Glory be to God. Amen? So, then we have seen the weapons, intimidation, treachery, accusation, gossip, slander, fault finding, and then condemnation. Okay? Nourishment, vomit of condemnation, and the water of bitterness. Then the strategy. Hallelujah. Strategy. Glory be to God. This is where God wants us to pay special attention. You know, the strategy of the enemy. Glory be to God. The strategy was very simple. You know, cause division on every possible level of relationships, rendering the church powerless and effective and ineffective. Because a house divided cannot stand. Glory be to God. That is the strategy. Okay? The enemy's strategy. Cause division. You know, at every level of relationship. You know, cause division Now, you see, he's fighting against Christians, okay, who are going to be part of the great harvest God is bringing in. Okay? So, in those Christians, cause divisions at every level. You know, in churches, the larger body of Christ cause divisions. You understand? Cause division. We LAT people don't fellowship with, let's say, worship. You know, just cause division and give reasons why the fellowship shouldn't happen between these groups of people. You see, cause division among pastors, among prophets, a division. That is the strategy. Hallelujah. Go now at that. Therefore, no, come down lower, cause divisions in their families. Division, husband against wife. You know, wife against husband. Just create something to divide them. Glory be to God. The children, cause division among those, you know, Christian kids or kids of Christian families. You see, cause division among friends, you know, people have great relationships, friends who are doing something for the kingdom. Just do something and cause division, separate them. You know why? Because a house. Jesus said, you know, now, this is Jesus who said in Matthew chapter 12, let's open, Matthew 12, you know the scriptures, but you guys, I don't want God to ever, you know, I don't want to miss my reward for having encouraged you not to read your Bible. Matthew 12, verse 25, it says that, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Hallelujah. So that is the strategy of the enemy. Cause divisions among Christians at every level. Glory be to God. You know, another thing that used even in the world, divide and rule, all those things. You get married, NRA man, they want to mess up FDC. I just cause division. Give this one money, but it's FDC. You give them money, then they jump out, then they start accusing you. You know, you go. There's, I think, in Daniel, where he talks about the Antichrist, and he calls him the master of intrigue. Master of intrigue. You know, the first time I saw that phrase, master of intrigue, man. You a master of intrigue. You know it. Hallelujah. This is the devil man. Personified. Intrigue is the divisions man. You see, I remember years ago when they were talking about, when they were teaching us how to the things of our HIV AIDS, how to make sure to help people not to get HIV AIDS, you know. One of the things was to advise couples not to listen to anything that will divide them. You know what I mean? Because now someone comes, for example, see, man, your wife, I saw her with some guy. Now already, you understand? Now you take that seed, now the enemy now has been, now has a starting point. You see, I saw your wife, your husband, with a certain cheek. And the route they were taking, you know it. And she was doing work time when it's supposed to be in office. But now it was what? 1 p.m. I read the headline some time ago. Was it? Just aware, Father Lokoto was saying that people have made lunchtime, like basically after the most cheating happened, lunchtime. Because at 5, guys, people have to go back home, people have to pick kids, school, So apparently lunchtime. That's what Father Lokoto was saying. I don't know. Have you heard of something like that, lunchtime? And so man, you tell man, what? Your wife. When I saw your husband at 1:30, the guy works in the Ministry of Finance. So him driving, why? You know, again, now with the concept lifestyle, then the wife just know this guy cheats, cheating on me. So now that those who start saying, man, now revenge, I'm also going to what? Then they are revenging, then HIV grabs them. But it began by someone causing division, listening to see, hallelujah. And then they believe him without doing proper investigation, without saying, God, okay, show me a dream, because I need to know. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember, man, one time I was with all this. Somewhere, then some woman, a wife of somebody, a lady who is married with kids, came to him and said, my son had a dream. And basically, the dream the kid had was basically exposing that man, the father, was doing what? He was cheating. But somehow, I don't know. Christians, especially chicks, they act like they don't know what a dream means. So now what does it mean? But you're like, how old are you? Don't you know it? But they act so she wanted Elvis to tell him what it means. I don't know. Again, I don't know. Whoa, but she was like really bleak. completely bleak. So she didn't know me, said, man, I'm not going to be the one to tell you. And he used to tell me that people would come to him, especially chicks, that tell me, my husband, I suspect, and he tell me. Then for him, prophetically, he would see, but he's like, no way, I can't. I'm not going there. And they said, you just tell me, I'm not going to, I'm just going, if I know. Then I'll just pray. Let me tell you. Everybody, you're joking. I'm just going to pray. Say, wow. She will go say, you know, even the prophet told me. Okay, no way, those I know. I'm not saying nothing. So this woman, and I know her, she was like, but she would see the kid, man. God had used a kid, basically, to show you. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't know where I was going with that one. With that illustration. But you can see the enemy's strategy is division. Hallelujah. That's a strategy. Now, because now this is a Bible study, and we need to see how these things apply to us. Okay? Let us never be caught, being used by the enemy to cause division in the church. The larger body of Christ, to cause division in your local church. Most of you, I think all of you, are in it, to cause divisions in your family, with your siblings. Where now you're the one, man, who is the anointed, to cause division. Siblings. Hallelujah. Or you are not of that family, but now you're the one who's been anointed to to cause division between couples. Hallelujah. But that's for me. I don't know whether I'm a real pastor. I need to ask God whether I'm a real pastor. Because if the land area don't want to be involved, are people's those relationship things, man? I don't want to be involved in people's things. I don't. You understand? Because first of all, people already fighting. They divided. Then now they want to introduce in a picture, and then now they use you. Understand? And then in a sense, you can end up what? To be not the one who's dividing. But if you're not dealing with this thing, but wisdom, your boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, all these things, you know. That's why for me there are things, man. Not like him with his what? With Eve, man, when was the last time I talked with you about you and Eve? You know, I don't. There's something I can say about them, Jeff, But I'm like, when we're with him, we're talking about football. You know, I've never brought up anything to do with Eve, never. Maybe I have, and it was just maybe a small thing. Not actually, like a problem, but a good thing. But if there's a bad thing, I'm quiet, in no way, you don't get any of those things. I relate with him, my relationship with him has nothing to do with him. You understand? If those are what? I'm not getting in there. Okay? Of course, if he wants me, or if she wants me to get into that thing, you know, she can tell. But again, I have a right to say yes, I'm entering in your things, or no. Yeah? Glory be to God. Those things. Hallelujah. Then even when there's no problem, they are okay, you know. Friend and his girlfriend are okay. Then therefore you think you should give them back to my alpha to be more okay. That's stupid nonsense, man. You understand? They're okay, they are ready to their house. They are ready to their house, they are fine. Then you start speaking your nonsense. You get his wife, and you're like, but so when are you starting to do it? Now, that is not a bad one. But then you can, some of these things you should be one, very. So you already began to do. So, hey, but you should, then the jig starts. Now you should pick up when you should decide when to end these things. Because this person has like what? Now, like me, I don't mind you coming and asking me what I'm starting to do. Now, answer. I don't know. Right now, I'm okay. I have all the money to pay rent. And when the time comes, I will build. I don't want to put unnecessary pressure on me. You don't understand it? Right now, I have the money to eat, the rent, and to give. Now, you put me in the house when God is like, that's not the right time. Then the pressure comes. Okay? But now, but you can decide how people answer the question. So then you ask, then the wife say, we don't know. And in fact, I've been telling him. Then now, and you can sense that it's coming with a certain emotion. Yeah. It's coming with that, you can sense the emotion with which it is said. Okay? And then now, when you start. Say, but talk to him, Tell him, you didn't have to give all the money. Now you have begun dividing. Already they say, now with them, they should go. In fact, I was talking, In fact, you see, for somebody, then before, now, they can't get enough money to start for, you understand? Now the situation now, you understand? Already a division, you understand? If somebody be slow with people's relationships, you're not, of course not you, but God tell other people that God hasn't appointed them as advisors to other one who can't hold it. Hallelujah. You're not. Of course, your friend, you can talk, but discern where to stop. Eh? Don't just go far, you know. Eh? Hallelujah. Division. Eh? Glory be to God. It is the enemy's strategy against the Father God's what? Carpet, God's army. So that when a house divided against itself cannot stand. A church divided against itself cannot stand. Glory be to God. Amen. I was telling someone that look at all, for example, here's an example. Look at all the prophecies of LAT. Man, the things God has deposited in LAT, the great things he has said about LAT, things that are coming, yeah? Just imagine. Not you. Just imagine you. If you are the devil. If you are the devil, and you hear God is saying this thing about this church which is going to mess you up. If you are the devil, what would you do? Of course, the key thing, you would come and start causing divisions. You know, deception, that's what you use for Eve. You know, and that is, you know, a house divided against, just start messing up. If you can't hit this pastor, Moses guy, if you can't hammer him and he gets off the scene, just use, you know, there's someone who said, I think it was Robert Lyadon, when he was talking about God's generals. He said that the enemy rarely uses people whom you don't know. Rarely. Amen? Rarely what? Uses people whom you don't know. I just remember something. There is a... Anyway, you think about it. But let's go on. I won't say that. Hallelujah. But so if you can't get Pastor Moses hammer him, just, you know, use people around him to mess him up. Division, you understand? In the hope that you'll get discouraged, disillusioned, bitter, maybe you give up on the prophecies about God and this thing. You just mess up people around him. You go out, you know, just, you know, okay? If that doesn't work, just start causing some stupid rumors, some gossiping, you know. But the whole plot is to create division. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? May God use you to help houses stand. To cause friends to stand. To remain together. To cause churches to stand. To cause the larger body. To cause marriages, you know, couples to stand. May it remain together. Hallelujah. Amen? This is the main thing God wants us to know. Yeah, don't ever be causing divisions between one church and the other, between one fellowship. If you don't want a fellowship, just leave it alone. You understand? If you don't want a church, just leave it alone and go to your child. You understand? Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't want a certain family, just leave them alone and go to their family. Which one, but don't cause what? Division. Hallelujah. Don't cause what? Division. Hallelujah. So again, we see the strategy, divisions, but now because he's attacking the church, he has to use Christian against Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, God was presented with an opportunity to do that. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 9, there is a guy, like I was used to tell him, to tell me about him years ago. This guy, everywhere he goes, immediately appears in a place. There has to come a rift between people.
Do you know it? You just bring, now you're here, you're in peace. Huh? Just bring the guy here. You know, within two, like a month maybe, there will be now. You put him among five two friends, the moment you get him out, you include him into the friendship. This guy. I know he's with you, I know him, man. He's like that. Glory be God. But now, Romans, brother, Luke 9:49-50, Jesus got an opportunity. You know, and it says that now John answered and said to Jesus, he said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. Okay? So what did these guys want to do? Let's read it. Verse 50 says, but Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Hallelujah. These guys were accomplishing the same mission as Jesus is. You know, but the disciples were like, but he's not in our camp, so Jesus told him to stop. You see, now causing division. Now they wanted Jesus to cause division. You know, he's not in our Jesus camp. Yeah? There's a Jesus camp, maybe there's a John Baptist camp. You know, and those guys, you stop them, you know, because they should all be here. It's a guys who think that everyone in Uganda, should attend Zoom. Really, first of all, which place can accommodate the whole of the guy? And in one day, one evening, what's going to happen to what? To the kids. Yeah, you understand? Now, what if someone, for them, good. Anyway, the whole thing just didn't make sense. Because now, that fellowship that has begun on Tuesday, why are they meeting on Tuesday? Tuesday is for the Zoom. Who's saying? You understand? So you see, now someone's causing. You know, guys are doing the work of God. God has taught them to do a certain work. If he has taught them, you know, then, you know, do now someone say, now, Jesus told those guys to talk. No, you're causing division. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen? So we shouldn't be like that. We should be like Jesus who said, do not forbid him, for he who's not against us is on our side. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. This study is going to help you to make the final quest easy to grasp. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants to do something. The enemy plans to preempt it. And because he didn't work alone, he had two devils, you know, and that is his army with divisions, you know, the key thing about them being self-righteousness, you know, self-centeredness. Okay, he has to transport his troops, and primarily he uses Christians. You know, he has water for the troops, the water of bitterness, he has food for them, condemnation. And those things. Amen? Hallelujah. And the strategy. Key thing, strategy. Divide. Hallelujah. I was reading, sowing the mustard seed. When these guys attacked Masini barracks during the war, you know, man. Well, they had an informer in there. Some guy used to cut grass. But he was an informer, man, giving them several info about how the building is planned, which room is there, where they hide the troops. You know, rather the soldier, you understand? So you can see that house was divided. You think you're fighting, but there's a guy in your camp, man,
Who is for the what? For the enemy. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory be to God. So anytime you see the enemy causing divisions, you know, things, nasty things, you know, happening, just know that he's preventing something. The enemy always like decides when something great is happening, and he has to do all he can to stop it. Just imagine, just an example, which I've just thought about. Just imagine, here is a couple, this a husband and a wife. David had kids for years. They have believed God, you know, they have prayed, they have what, you know. Then somehow, the enemy, somehow, I don't know how he tells, either he hears a prophecy or a dream that now a kid is coming. You know it. Then he's like, now I have to mess up these guys. This kid is not coming. I saw your husband at 1:30 p.m. you know it. Then, shoo! The wife said, this guy. First of all, she has another kid. So she has things, you know. Then now, can you imagine? We are trying to believe God. Now, he's cheating with other women. Maybe it's because I don't have a kid. Now, he wants to get out. You know it. Then say, for me, I'm out of my kid. And then he may achieve this prayer. And he has used some idiot man. And also the woman. Why don't you investigate the thing well? You understand? If you think, okay, he's going to give you HIV, do some measures. Go for HIV test or have man, either I'm naive or I'm just stupid, I don't know. Some of the things I hear about how people what try to avoid HIV, man. You just feel this man, people are very evil. A few years ago, there's a guy, he was a year ahead of me in medical school. So I met him somewhere, we're doing some work together. He's not saved, but we're doing some work together, like a project somewhere. So we begin to talk. Anyway, so the guy told me, I was like, which world am I living in? And I'm a doctor, but I'm like, the guy tells me, man, these babes these days are sharp, man. Babes are enlightened, they are sharp. He told me, and so of course, I want him to talk with the couples because I'm amazed, I'm like perplexed about her. You know, the guy said that, man, these babes are sharp. He told me that there's a baby he had who drove him over at 11 p.m., drove the guy from her house. I think it was around the court or somewhere. Drove the guy at 11 p.m. Drove him to Kadik to first plan the time. 11 p.m. I was like, this story, the guy didn't hear them. He said, man, then now, what caught my whatever is a man. He told me my bones are sharp. She told me that this week, these days, they even have, this one I had it from some guy, who told me over babes have kids, HIV testing kids. We were in a, as a doctor, this I should know, HIV what prevail, but in a kids. Anyway, see, I don't even know why I'm saying that. But I was. But the guy told me, man, a babe drove him. Now I'm out of time. Anyway, so, God is good, amen? Hallelujah. Now, where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Amen? You know that. Okay? Where there is unity, where God loves unity. You know, especially when the unity is to accomplish his will. Hallelujah. And the enemy doesn't want that. Okay? But what is unity? God commands a blessing. Glory be to God. Psalms 133, as we end, amen? What time is it? 7 what? Okay. I'm going to end with this, then I'll give you an opportunity to ask questions. Psalm 133. Who is there? Psalm 133 says, Psalm 133 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So the first part of this study, you know, the church civil war, is, you know, what you should pick out from it is be an instrument of unity. Glory be to God. Because the devil's work is to cause disunity. So don't partner with the devil. Let the devil not use you as a vehicle to achieve his purposes. Hallelujah. Amen. And in whatever relationship you're in, okay, do your best to maintain the unity of the relationship. Do the best to maintain the unity of your church. You know, the unity of the worship team. Okay? No man, you know it. No? Do the best to make it. Don't be involved in things that go there. Everything you see those things, it's the devil man using somebody or using you, you know it. Okay? And what is unity? You know, in your families, pursue unity. Glory be to God. Amen? This is why I really hate disunity. By the way, as a person man, I hate to be where there's strife. I hate to, you know, probably it's because I grew up in an environment like that, man. We are mad. Is this why I hate, you know, even like this church thing? I always rather from thing where I sad, now, trouble is coming, disunity is coming. I rather from those, I hate them. Glory be to God. You see, that's why I don't want to be involved in any nasty thing between maybe I and Pastor Jack and Prophet Chika. You understand? That's why when there's something to do, I always want to involve them, invite. You understand? It's about unity, man. Glory be to God. Amen? In your families, with your husband, amen? Hallelujah. Don't manufacture this unity. And take note. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. You know, at your workplace. You know, your workplace. Your workplace. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Don't do that. Amen. Unity. And with unity, the enemy cannot get you, man. The enemy cannot what? Cannot get you and he can't use you. Because you will be a very important instrument in the hands of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Remember, according to the final quest, that was the enemy's primary strategy. That is a strategy. Just divide people and let them fight each other. Rarely does he bring in foreign troops. And in fact, if he brought them in, those troops to succeed, they have to divide. You understand? The troops will come in, they start, give these ones money, you understand? Promise them somewhere, I mean, serious job if we overthrow the government, you understand? Then now, you understand? But if they find people who are in unity, man, it is very hard. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We're done.